Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the hour is getting late, and we preach the everlasting gospel, you know. But we're not going to preach all night. Amen. I wish we were all in that kind of shape, all in that kind of condition, all in that spiritual frame of mind where we could just let some of us fall asleep at midnight and stay in church and enjoy the things of God and learn more about Him and worship Him just a little bit longer. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you, Ken, from Ashland. We had a good talk up there one night, I remember. Amen. So God bless you all. You may be seated. I really am going to speed up here and go as fast as I can. And so I'll just dispense with the preliminary marks, which I have a list of there that I would like to tell this church. But let me just begin with the message tonight. Everybody say with me, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. That's Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Amen. I want to talk about that for a few minutes tonight. The world teaches others to love them. The Christian teaches others to love Jesus. The world teaches others to love them. The church or the Christians teach others to love Jesus. When we read Revelation chapter 4 and we read Revelation chapter 5, we find a throng of people in both chapters worshiping, giving honor due to the Creator. The Creator, the one that created the heavens and the earth and the universe. That's Jesus, right? And then that's the fourth chapter. And then the fifth chapter, we have another multitude of people who are praising the Creator of the new creation. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Read it. Revelation 4:9, Revelation 5:9. I was going to read it tonight in your hearing, but I want to hurry on and you can read that for yourselves. That's the whole creation. The creation that's not saved and the creation that is saved. Amen. And so I would say tonight, when you don't know what to do, whether you're saved or not saved, exalt Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Anthony Mangan said there were three purposes of the church. He started them all with E, exaltation, edification, and evangelism. The first one is what I'd like to talk about, exaltation. Exalt the Lord with me. Exalt His name together. Exalt comes from a word that means to lift up, lift up, lift up. Magnify the name of the Lord. We want to lift up the name of Jesus in everything that we do. Number 7311, to be on high. That's in your concordance. And as Christians, we ask, or we should ask, Lord, what can I do to bring more glory to Your name? Lord, what can I do to bring more glory than I am bringing to Your name? I want to be my best for the Lord. I want to be my best not when I get up Monday morning and punch the clock at work. I want to be my best when I get up Sunday morning and punch that door open, as it were, and come into the house of God. I don't want to come dragging in. As old as I am, I don't want to come dragging in. Amen. I want to lift those knees high. I want to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. I want to come in this place well rested and well fed. Well nourished, I should say. I want to be excited about the things of the Lord and give Him all that I have and the best that I have. I don't know why people give the best to their job. I guess it's because they like money more than they want to exalt the Lord. But let's give our best as Christians, not to our jobs, not to our pleasures, not to our sports, not to our physical conditioning for the world. Let's give our best to Him. Let's ask, what can I do, Lord, to bring more glory to Your name? Amen. We are called upon to exalt him. According to the Holy Scriptures, we're called upon to exalt the Lord. Psalm 99:5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Psalm 99:9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. You know why a lot of people can't worship the Lord? They cannot exalt him with us tonight. It's because we have imputed holiness, imputed righteousness that they have not experienced, that they know nothing about. And they have exalted themselves up to the level of God or beyond the level of a holy God. They think that they're great. They think that they're wonderful. They think that they're something. They don't know how wretched and miserable they are without the robes of righteousness that Jesus Christ gives to us. Hear it again. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Worship at his footstool, not at his throne, not above his throne, for he is holy. Praise the Lord. I said we are called upon as a creation to worship him. He is a faithful creator, the Bible says. He is to be exalted. The Spirit pleads with you and me. The Spirit pleads with the redeemed. Listen to the pleading. Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, God wants to be exalted. Jesus wants to be exalted. God is worthy of being exalted. And he loves that. He loves that when his people, he loves that when his whole creation worship him. Amen. Because he is worthy. Now, I said that we are called upon to worship him, and the Spirit pleads with the redeemed to worship him or to exalt him. And I want to say this, that it is natural for those who have faith like you and I have to exalt him. That's why if somebody from the world came in here tonight and we're raising our hands, they might look up and wonder what in the world we're doing. They look up, they don't see anything, but we see something. We see something worthy of exaltation, something worthy of our greatest, deepest, intensest worship. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. So it's natural for us, it's unnatural for them, or it's normal for us, I should say, that have faith to exalt him, because we know something. Here's one thing we know. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The world doesn't understand that. The humanist doesn't understand that. The evolutionist doesn't understand that. The naturalist doesn't understand that tonight. They're still studying the stars, and they're still studying what they call prehistoric conditions and so on. That's an anomaly to me. I don't know what they mean by prehistoric. If it's before history, what in the world is it? But anyway, they're still trying to find out where we came from, who we are, and where we're going. And you and I didn't go to school and study evolution, but we already know the answer. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things were not made of things which do appear. It is natural for us to exalt him because we have faith. Now, we know that there are, here's one of the reasons it's natural and normal and easy for us to exalt him, because we know that there are some things we don't know. We know there are some things we don't know. The world will not admit to that. The man without faith will not admit that there is something he doesn't know. But you and I admit it tonight, because when we do that, we are not manifesting our ignorance. We are exalting our God, who has a brain and power far greater than the intelligentsia and all the brain power of this world put together. We talk about computers today and how great they are and how much they can do. I'll tell you, they're less than the snap of the finger if they want to compare with the brain of God. Praise the Lord. He is mighty. He is wonderful. Amen. I said we know that there are some things we don't know. Somebody said to me, Brother Tamberg, wait a minute. Do you know who you're talking to? This is the dawn of the 21st century. Why, we know more than any previous generation. I paused and said, I repeat, there are some things we don't know. As far as the world goes, the Bible says they are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Aren't you thankful for the truth tonight? The truth that Brother Bennett preached over this pulpit every Sunday night, and I preach every Sunday morning. Amen. The truth that you have received from God Almighty. Hallelujah. There are some things that no one knows. Mark 4:26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God." This is Jesus speaking. "As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." I like that. The farmer just goes ahead and plants the seed anyway, even if he doesn't know how it brings forth fruit. That's one we have to ask the university down here. See if they know. If they do, then Jesus is not true. But Jesus said, "You don't know. I know." Praise God, praise God. "And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Man had nothing to do with it. The university and the professors had nothing to do with it. The evolutionists had nothing to do with it. And by the way, you and I who are saved had nothing to do with it. We just put it in the ground and God gives it life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He knoweth not how. My friend, the power of life is from God. And I like this verse that says, "As the Father hath life in himself." Jehovah means the self-existent one. "As the Father hath life in himself," Jesus said, "so hath the Son, hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." The power of life is from God. Listen to this. John 3, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again," he doesn't know. He can't see the kingdom of God. "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Listen to this verse. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Jesus said you can't tell. And I want to tell you something about education. They will never, never learn more than God knows. Never, never, never. Amen. The power of life is from God. And now he talks about, that's the earth bringing forth, and now he's talking about the church bringing forth the spirit of life. Amen. The power of new life is from God. The power of the ground is from God. The life in the ground and the power of this new life is from God. And we cannot tell where it came from. We just knew that one day we got saved. One day we woke up the next morning after the night before at the altar. Hallelujah. And we had a new spirit in us. And all of a sudden we weren't reaching for the cigarette and the dish to spit in and cough in and hack in, you know. We just got up and it was all gone and we felt so wonderful. Didn't know where it came from. We just knew it came from God, because the power of life and the power of new life is from God. Amen. You and I are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And when we go witnessing to people, we're not out there to tell people what we can do for them or what the church can do for them. We're out there telling them what God Almighty can do for them. Praise the Lord. He has the power of life. Now, the next point I make will have meaning for some of you, and it will have little or no meaning for others of you, but I'm going to say it anywhere because it's on my heart and on my mind, and I just feel like a pastor, I have to say it to you so that you are all protective of your own spirit. Amen. Okay, here we go. Now, I am aware of some major healing campaigns. I am aware of some major healing campaigns, and I've been to some of them, conducted by men who do not believe exactly like you and I believe. They do not baptize like we do here at Pentecostal Assembly, yet they appear to be having great success. I had a preacher ask me about some of these campaigns, and I had already been to the Lord about it and got my satisfactory answer, because I feel like the Lord spoke to me on this. And it won't set well with everybody, but it's the way I feel. I had to ask the Lord how to respond to this. Because you see the multitudes coming forth. And you see the little boy who is too naive to stand up there and trick the public and lie for them. And he's crying and he's happy because his crippled legs were healed. And now he's running across the stage touched by the mighty power of God. And yet these people don't preach the message we preach. And they don't preach the baptism in Jesus' name like we preach. But I was just standing out here tonight and I looked in here and I say, oh God, there's probably 200 people here tonight sitting here, and there's probably 20,000 or 30,000 in some of those campaigns, and these places just explode with praise and worship unto God. And I hear some of my colleagues or some of my fellow brethren speak against them and say they're not one of us. It can't be of God. I just like to pour out my heart to you for a minute tonight and tell you what I think. I had to ask the Lord, how do I respond to this? After all, Lord, we have the truth. You gave it to us. And some of my friends are calling it false. So I fell on my knees in prayer and tears. And I think he said to me, and I wrote it down the best I can remember, perhaps neither I nor you approve of their attire and of some of their lifestyle. But they are hearing some of my word, and they are responding by exalting me. I hope you get my message now. And the Lord went on. I mean, I had a time in a puddle of tears. And may I remind you that I do heal people before they're saved. May I remind you, I heard that voice, that I do heal people before they're saved. And I do heal people before they're fully mature. And it is I who am healing them. And they're telling others. And I am being exalted. The Lord is so kind. The Lord is so good. I didn't take it as a rebuke. But I rebuked myself. When I heard it, I rebuked myself because I thought, Lord, you've done so much for me. How often am I on the telephone saying, did you hear what the Lord did for me? How often do I or you or we get healed, get on the telephone, invite somebody out to that church like these folks are doing? I rebuked myself. I am healing them and they're telling others, and therefore I am being exalted. And then if you or they hold their peace, the stones must cry out, for I will be exalted. I thank God for the truth we have here at Pentecostal Assembly. I thank God for the revelation of baptism in Jesus' name. But I want everybody here to know tonight that God so loved the world. And the world is bigger than the 200 people congregated in this building tonight. There's a vast world out there of 5-6 billion people that are just waiting to hear a little bit about Jesus. And the little bit they hear will cause their hands to reach toward heaven in praise and worship. Oh, saints of God, we have so much. We have so much. Let's never stop exalting Him. Let's never pout and pity ourselves. Let's worship Him and let's exalt Him, for He is worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard one of those men. I heard him whisper in prayer. I was near. We were praising the Lord. We had seen. And the preacher who doesn't baptize like we do. This is not negative on water baptism in Jesus' name, folks. Not at all, because by the time I finish, you'll know what I mean, and I'm just about finished. Doesn't seem like it. It's been almost 20 minutes already. Time goes so fast. I heard this man when a healing was done by the laying on of his hands and the place was worshiping the Lord, thousands of people praising the Lord and clapping and leaping for joy because a little boy was healed. I heard this man hold the mic when he whispered. He said, "Jesus, I vow to give you all the glory." Oh, I thought, oh God. And ever since I heard that voice, I've said, "God, I vow to glory." You see, I'm saved tonight, but I had nothing to do with it. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the God, gift to God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Guess what? I had nothing to do with it. It was all His work. It was all His blessing. It was His gift. He gave it. He gave it to me. All I can do is rejoice in it and exalt Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And any healing that you or I or anybody in the world will ever have, we had nothing to do with it. He did it all. No wonder I can say, "Jesus, I vow to give you the glory." Amen. What we need to do, folks, is learn to tolerate without compromise. Here's the point I want to make. We need to tolerate without compromise. See, to be out of a crowd of 200 and in a crowd of 20,000 or 200,000. I just see something. You see, we need to learn to tolerate without compromise. Because if I compromise now, listen to this. This is the foolish man that compromises because he thinks somebody else has got something better than he has. If I have the truth and I know I have it, I do not have to apologize for it. And if he has something I don't have, I don't have to abandon what I have to get what he has. I need to add what he has to what I already have. Praise the Lord. Okay. If I compromise now, and God is so good, it's just like him to do it. He's doing it all the time. Listen, if I compromise now and God leads them to where I was before I compromised, I'm going to be embarrassed because I gave up by compromise what they now have gained. Got it? How many got it? Good for you. Good for you. All right. What are we going to do about it? Brother Stanley Chambers made a statement, and I cannot quote it perfectly, but the gist of it is this. History says that we will die as a denomination because that's what happened to all the other denominations. They were on fire for a certain era of time, and then they became formalistic and ritualistic, and they lost their revival power with God. Brother Stanley Chambers stood so tall and strong, and he said, "History says that we will follow the way of all other denominations." He said, "I propose to you tonight that we make some history." I like that. I propose to you tonight that we make some history. Pentecostal Assembly, United Pentecostal Church International, we do not have to die. We do not have to go the way of all other denominations. Amen. We can make history. We can keep that power of God in our midst. We can have divine healing. We can have divine deliverance. We can have people filled with the Holy Ghost in a baptismal tank that's wet all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's not let the devil make us believe that our day of power or our day of revival is over. It is not past. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you how big the God is that we serve. Some of you will be able to tie all this in together. Some of you won't. That's all right. Take a piece here and a piece there. I was down at the bike trail, walking and praying. What do we do about building another sanctuary? What do we do? And I began to get so broken before the Lord. I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We get stopped here and we get detoured there. And what do we do, Lord? Do we go out to the new land? Do we stay here? Do we buy a house? Do we sell? What do we do?" And I was just lost with God. And I said, "Lord, tell us what to do. You know the future. We don't know." And if I ever heard a voice speak to me loud and clear, the Lord said to me, "Son, not only do I know the future, I control the future." You talk about cry. You talk about worship. You talk about exalt the God of glory. He not only knows the future, folks, he controls the future. Why should we be afraid to exalt him? Why should we be afraid to put our very lives, our very existence into his hands? Why should we be afraid to commit our future to him who not only knows the future but controls the future? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's Pantocrator. Some of you haven't heard me say it, but John the Greek was here one Sunday, and I'd always heard that word Pantocrator meant a certain thing. And so I ran down, that was over in the stone building, off, and I said, "John the Greek, we're so glad you're here." I used to eat at his daughter's restaurant. And I said, "I want to ask you a question, John. What does Pantocrator mean?" He says it means the Lord God Almighty always has everything under his perfect control. That's just what I said it meant. Just what I thought it meant. I'd already told the church that's what it meant. And then John the Greek was there and I asked him, he said the same thing. The Lord God Almighty always has everything under his perfect control. The Lord God Almighty always has everything under his perfect control. He not only knows the future, he controls the future. Somebody shout, Pantocrator. That's Greek for the Lord God Almighty always has everything under his perfect control. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." Here's something else we don't know. We don't know what all God can do. We don't know the myriad ways that he can answer our cries and our pleas and our prayers. So he says, "Hey, you can't find the answer. You can't solve the problem. So just call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee," or manifest the answer before your eyes, "show thee great and mighty things which you haven't thought of. You're not able to think of it, but I am, and I've got it in the palm of my hand to give to you, and you call on me and commit your life to me." Praise the Lord. Can we stand? I'd just like to tell you before you go to prayer tonight, I'd like to tell you who you're talking to. Just a little of it. God is so great that he can't get any better. He can't get any greater. He's so good, he can't get any better. He's so great, he can't get any greater. Amen. Did you know that he can't learn anything? God is unable to learn anything. He already knows everything there was to know, is to know, or shall be to know. That's the God that you're going to be talking to in a minute here. Praise the Lord. As you call on him and he answers you and shows you things that you couldn't dream of. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm welcoming you to come to the altar or kneel at your chair and bring your fears to him. Bring your concerns to him. Bring your anxieties to him. Put your trust in him. Do like Brother Bennett said tonight so very wisely after Tanya gave that beautiful testimony. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Lean not unto your own understanding. Remember, our God is alive. And as my wife and I sing in that one song, he's waiting just to hear his people pray. It's time to pray. God bless you.
He is exalted. He is exalted.
Oh, pray. Give him your request and exalt him. Exalt his greatness. Exalt his power. Exalt his wisdom. Exalt his knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah.
Nations shall praise him. The saints shall adore him. For he is exalted on high.
Oh, yes, he is exalted. Exalted, he is exalted on high. Creation shall praise him.